Welcome back to another Daily Walk. And today we want to talk about one is left. We're going to talk about what this statement means in the gospel messages as Jesus has talked about the end times as pertained to the rapture. This could be a longer message than usual. I have a whole lot more notes and a whole lot more scriptures in this. I'm actually using two pages in my notebook instead of the typical one. So hopefully I can move through it quick enough to make sense. Of course, this deals with the rapture and the people left behind. Of course, the famous Left Behind series deeply popularized the idea of a pre-tribulation rapture. And, you know, it just kind of indicates the world's just moving along as it always has. And boom, all of a sudden, all these people are just gone. You know, it's like, oh, one is in the field, one is left, you know. Of course, there was an email rumor going around on email there that said that there was an internal memo from the airlines that they always had to make sure there was at least one non-Christian on any flight in case the rapture occurred. They didn't want to have planes in the air with, all the Christians were raptured away immediately and we have no pilots in the cockpit. Of course, that was false, but nevertheless, still a fascinating and interesting story. And it all leads into the false idea that we're just moving along and all of a sudden, randomly, just nothing changed, no signs, no anything. Just, I mean, after all, nobody knows the day or the hour, right? You hear that one. But we want to examine the verse and what is going on here. Of course, this is in two of the Gospels. We'll read both passages here. So in Matthew 24, 40 and 41, there will be two men in a field. One will be taken and one is left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one is left. And a parallel passage in Luke 17, 35 to 37. There will be two women grinding at the same place. One will be taken, the other left. Two men will be in a field. One is taken, and the other will be left. And answering them, he said to them, "Where, Lord?" And he said to them, "Where the body is also, the vultures will be gathered." And so what we see in this statement here is that, of course, Left Behind has this show and it talks about all the Christians just taken out of the world. But the Bible does not teach a pre-tribulation rapture. I know that a lot of people say it does, and you get into some of those confusing verses there in Revelation and 1 Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians, and, you know, it's all, we just don't know what's going on, and there's nothing in there. And I'm sorry, the Bible paints completely different pictures of what's going on. And hear me out if you disagree with me on this. At least hear me out and listen to what I'm going to tell you. As I'm going to tell you why there is one in the field, one is taken, and one is left. And we're going to lead up to what goes into this. So in Matthew 24 and Luke 17, Jesus answers the questions of things that are happening only up to the rapture. He doesn't include absolutely everything. He stops at the point of the rapture in his discussions. Then Jesus, in Matthew 24, goes into the various sayings to get their attention. He says, Pay attention to these things. These things are not supposed to be a surprise for us. Now, I know that people say you look down to 1 Thessalonians, and everyone knows this verse here. You yourselves know full well the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Now, in our one verse culture, we have this idea that now that it says this, and see, nobody knows, it's just going to happen randomly. The problem is the one verse culture doesn't keep reading, because 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 goes on. Verses 3 through 6 say this: while they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and the sons of the day. We are not night nor of darkness. So let us then not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. So while we hear all over the place, nobody knows the day or the hour. See, that's it. It's all pre-tribulation. It just happens. That is the verse that is cited. Keep reading. The same verse, the same context, the same chapter says, but you are not those people that should be taken suddenly. It's not a surprise to us. After Jesus mentions these things up to the rapture, he goes on the whole next chapter in the Bible, goes into several signs and warnings for us to pay attention. So what does the Bible say about our going out of this world? Well, it says it happens at the trumpet, specifically at the last trumpet. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first, then those who are alive and remain will be caught up together with the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, so we shall always be with the Lord. So Jesus makes himself known in the clouds, not coming on earth again. The next time he stands on earth is in the Battle of Armageddon. But he will make himself appear known in the clouds, and there will be an angelic trumpet. And in 1 Corinthians 15:52, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable and will be changed. And so at the last trumpet, we have a trumpet. Now we have the last trumpet. And in Matthew 24:29-31, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, this is after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then the Son of Man will appear in the sky. All the tribes of the earth will mourn, the tribes, that is the Israelites, the Jewish people, they will mourn, they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds in the sky with power and great glory. He will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather his elect together from the four winds, one from the one end of the sky to the other. This is after all these great tribulations, after the sun is darkened, after the moon stops giving off its light, after the stars from the sky, after all these scary things in Revelation. Now, I know the pre-tribulation group says, but this refers to people that were saved after the original rapture. I'm sorry, there is nothing in Scripture that states that. You're painting this picture because you think that the Bible says nobody's ever going to go through any trials. What Bible have you been reading? Really? Now, the trumpets occur as part of the seven seals. In fact, it is at the seventh seal. Revelation 8:2. I saw seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. So now we have angels, we have seven trumpets, and then we have the blowing of these trumpets, all these weird things, eschatological things are happening in the sky. Of course, Revelation 11 talks about the two witnesses, which in my view, reading through the scriptures, the two witnesses is the last event. The rising of the two witnesses and the calling of the two witnesses happens right before the seventh trumpet. This is the thing that triggers the rapture. Revelation 11:11. But after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God came into them, that is the two witnesses. They stood on their feet, and great fear fell upon all those who were watching them. And then further on in verse 15, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of the Lord, and he is Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. That is the rapture, the sounding of the seventh trumpet, which occurs after all of these other seals and trumpets go on, after all sorts of weird things occurred. So that is what we are seeing. But before the rapture, now this is where some people get confused on the placements in Revelation, because Revelation is not a linear book. It is a circular book. You can think of it as in Genesis. Chapter 1 covers kind of these details. Chapter 2 narrows in on some narrow scope of those details, and then it gives us some views and some ideas of other things that are going on in the middle. Well, that's what Revelation does. We go back and, of course, that's 11. Now, further on in verse 13, we see some things with the beast. This occurs before the rapture. This is a more deeper dive, what is going on. The beast causes, they cause the mark and all these other things. They causes all the people to be marked. Revelation 13:16-17. He causes all, the small and great, the rich and the poor, the free and the slave, to be given a mark on the right hand or on their forehead, and provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. So that is the mark of the beast, which will be given out when the Christians are still here before the rapture. So what is really going on here? What is going on is the establishment of a parallel economy, because the true Christians cannot follow the Antichrist. The Jews will not follow the Antichrist by and large. A few of them will, but by and large, they will not. So the Jews, the Christians, and a few scattering of three other, just a third group of just people who aren't Jews, aren't Christians, but they're just like, we're just not following along with this stuff. Call them the Luddites, if you will, especially since I think the Mark of the Beast is going to be technological. So they all gather together because they're not willing to take the mark to engage in the primary economy of the world. They set up a parallel economy. So they are working together. They are trading. They are bartering together. So the Antichrist makes this mark. The parallel economy comes out of it where the people who do not follow the beast. Who are these people? The first is the Jews who reject the Antichrist. And in Revelation 14, 1 through 5, I looked and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the names of the Father written on their foreheads. And I heard the voice from heaven like the sound of many waters, the voice of loud thunder, and the voice I heard, which was the sound of harpists playing on their harps. They sang a new song before the throne, and behold, four living creatures and the elders, and the one who could hear the song, and no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. These are the ones that have not been defiled with women. They've kept themselves chaste. They are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been purchased from among the men to the first fruits of God and to the Lamb, and no lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless. In 7:4, Revelation 7:4, I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. So we have this group of Jews who do not follow, for whatever reason, they do not follow the beast. The second is the true Christians. Matthew 24:24, false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders as to lead, if possible, even the elect. But it's not possible to mislead the elect. They truly follow God. So they will not take the mark of the beast. They will participate in the parallel economy working with the Jews. The third is just a few other, call them those Luddites. They're neither Jews nor Christians, but they're like, nah, back in my day, we didn't need the mark of the beast to buy bread at the grocery store. And so they're just going to sit back and engage in this parallel economy because it's here. So now what happens, we bring ourselves finally full circle to the rapture. The rapture is when one is taken and one is left. The workers, this is the workers in the parallel economy. They are working side by side. The Jews, the Christians, and well, we'll call them the Luddites. All right, they are all working together, hanging out, creating in the parallel economy, providing for their various needs, probably some form of bartering system or something like that. You know, I make great cookies, you make great bread, let's trade. Your bread's probably more sustaining than my cookies. So we do that kind of stuff. And what happens here is that when the rapture occurs, those in the parallel economy who are the Christians are raptured away. Those in the parallel economy who are not the Christians are not raptured away, and that is why one is in the field and one is taken away. And so what we see in here is elements of the rapture recognized. Now, there's a few other sections here which kind of get to this similar point. In Zechariah 12, 10 through 14, it is the rapture that causes the Jews to look up and recognize that Jesus is the Messiah, and they recognize they are the ones who sent him off to be crucified. Zechariah 12, 10 through 14. I will pour out on the house of David, on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplication, that they would look on me whom they have pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping over a firstborn. In that day, there will be great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning of Hadarim in the plain of Megiddo. And the lard of the land, excuse me, the land of lard, wow, there was a dot on my phone. I couldn't look like lard. Right? The land of will mourn, and every family by itself, the families of the house of David by itself, the wives by themselves, the family of the house of Nathan by itself, the wives by themselves, the family of the house of Levi by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the Shemites by itself, and the wives by themselves, all the families that remain, every family by itself. So this is a nationwide full-fledged repentance. All right, so what I would encourage you to do is have a look at my study looking at this section of Zechariah 12. We go into fine detail about who all those people are. Just know it's a national repentance that they recognize that Jesus is the one whom they have crucified. And in Revelation 11, 19, the temple of God, which is in heaven, was open. The Ark of the Covenant appeared in his temple, and there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of great thunder and earthquake and a great hailstorm. So this happens at that time of the rapture, and they recognize all of the artifacts of the true worship of God are there in the throne room of God. This is what causes them to recognize that he is the Messiah that they have been waiting for. But what happens is, in this parallel economy, the Antichrist forces the mark of the beast. The Christians, the Jews, and those few scatterings of other people do not accept it. They engage in a parallel economy, but during the rapture, the Christians are taken out, leaving behind only the Jews, which is why, as Matthew 24 and Luke 17 say, two are in the field, one is taken, and one is left. This is who remain in the land, and they are the ones who defend Jerusalem in the final battle. So hopefully we clarified something in that 16-minute or so of discussion. Let me know your thoughts on all this. Have a look at the website, ourwalkinchrist.com/support, if you want to help support the channel. Thanks for watching, and hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.